Wow, son. The beauty of the blood. Some people see the ugliness, but we do see the beauty in his blood, don't we? It reminded me of our salvation. Oh, thank you for that reminder, son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can set aside the time this morning, our first service, as we said, where we don't ask for anything, but we give. We give you our thanks. We give you our praise. You deserve it, Lord. That's the beauty of the blood. And Lord, now as we gather around here to hear your message, not mine, Lord, has nothing to do with me. Please hide me behind the cross and let them hear your voice. Speak through me, Lord. Humble me. I depend on the power of your word. We give you praise again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Good morning. Or should I say good afternoon? Researchers and statistics say the average person does this 30 times a day. Anyone have any guesses? See, if my son was here, he would say snacking. But it's not snacking. It's the word complaining. I know. Yeah, I know, it almost doesn't sound right. Have you ever met these people? They always find the negative in everything, even in the good news. They criticize everything and everyone except themselves. These are also the same people that are hard to please. There was a story I heard from a preacher. This woman was married to one of these hard to please people. And one morning, she was determined to please her husband. Honey, I want to fix you breakfast today. Any way you want it, anything you like. He said, fine. Here's what I want. I want 2 pieces of toast, 1 white, 1 wheat. On the white bread, lightly buttered. On the wheat, just plain. I also want 2 eggs. One fried, over easy, and the other scrambled. Got it? Fine and dandy, sweetheart. She fixed it all up and set it in front of him. The husband had a sour face. So the wife asked, what's wrong, honey? He said, you fried the wrong egg. So out of curiosity, I decided to test it myself to see if I'm part of this statistic. For the last 2 months, and my own family can attest to this, I had my own family catch me if they hear any complaints, big or small. Yes, I tested it. And who can be more brutally honest than the people you live with? See, if you're like me, the first thing I said to the Lord when he gave me this subject, Lord, I'm pretty positive person. I don't think I'm that bad. Well, as embarrassing as it is to say, I failed at my own expectations. Why don't we do this? We're all going to take a trip. You guys are just going to stay in your seats. Where do you say? In the day in the life of yours and mine. Alan, you don't know. You've never been in my place. You don't know what my day is like. Humor me for the next minute or two. All right? So what's the first thing we do? We get out of bed, right? What do we say? Oh, I didn't get enough sleep. What is this hurting now? It was too hot. It was too cold. Then you look at yourself at the mirror. Everybody does this. I mean, when was the last time you said, hey, thank you, Jesus. No, you say, what on earth is that? Right? I don't like the way I look. I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I was slimmer, leaner, better skin, better hair. So now we go to our closet, packed with stuff. What do we say? There's nothing to wear. I don't have enough clothes. I have too much clothes. We complain on both sides. Now we drive to work. The engine light comes on. What now? I just paid hundreds of dollars of the last week, and now it's down again. How come they're driving that car? How come I'm driving this car? Too much traffic. Too many crazy drivers. They're going too slow. They're going too fast. That guy just cut me off. That lady just took my parking spot. So you go to work now. Oh, that's another winner. Let's see. Not enough pay, too much work, long hours, annoying coworker, I don't like my boss, just like school, horrible teacher, too much homework. So on the way home, you stop by the store. Oh, the line is too long. Too many choices. Prices are too expensive. That employee was rude to me. You finally get home, and you think you're done complaining. You head to the cupboard for a snack before dinner. Again, it's packed. What do you say? There's nothing to eat. So you switch on the TV now. You have 200 cable channels, and there's nothing to watch. You click on the news. Honey, look what this guy is doing. I can't believe they're doing this. How come they are doing this? That's it. I'm so irritated. What else? The kids were acting up today. Your appliance broke down. Your house is falling apart. Then it's bedtime. You assess all the bad things that happened to you, and you voice it one last time. You know, how many complaints did you count? I challenge you to test yourself the same way. I never noticed it till I made this test. You know, if there's one thing I found about complaining, it's almost always accompanied by self-rationalization. We're trying to justify it or make excuses for it. Well, I'm just telling the truth. They started. It's not my fault. It's my teacher's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's the church's fault. How about this? I was just kidding around. It's a self-defense mechanism of our wicked and unbelieving heart. What is complaining? I didn't say these words. Complaining is the grown-up version of whining. Ooh, I know. Ooh. An expression of powerlessness. Complaining is when we blame others or life, most of the time God, instead of accepting the situation and taking responsibility to make things better. To express discontent. Fault finding. Murmuring. You know me and how I like a good laugh. But let me point out that this is a more serious message than we might think. I totally believe that our complaints are an insult to God, that our words can sometimes show a lack of respect, and most of all, danger to our hearts, since we're leaving the door wide open for the devil. Folks, the goal of this message is to create awareness. Treat complaining as a sin and repent. Have reverent fear of complaining and possibly reduce the stats that I just mentioned. Raise your hand if you agree that we can do better in this area of our life. Amen. How about for the people watching online? Raise your hand too, please. We're going to go to our first verse for today, Numbers 11. Numbers 11 says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and fire died down, so that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them." Friends, I encourage you to read the chapters before this, because I feel it's very important that when we came to this verse, it took a lot from the Lord. God had just delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt after they cried out to God. These people had seen and personally experienced miracle after miracle after miracle. And we're not just talking small miracles. We're talking people they've never seen before and will never see it again. Remember the 10 plagues? It happened to all the Egyptians except the Israelites. The parting of the Red Sea, just imagine that. Two big walls of water, and you're crossing on dry land. And then it goes down and kills all the Egyptians that were chasing you. I mean, that's huge. And then the manna from heaven, it's raining bread. Will we ever see that again? I don't think so. There was no doubt that the Lord loved his people. But here it is. It simply wasn't enough. What did the Israelites complain about? Everything under the sun. Minor details. From the type of food, not enough to drink. Are we there yet? They even picked on Moses' leadership role. The Israelites had what it's called the victim syndrome. They thought life was against them and approached it with a negative attitude. Hence the complaints. See, their complaints showed their level of faith in God. It was hardly next to none. As Christians, we think that if we can just see more miracles, we would have more faith. But the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Not by seeing miracles. Yes, miracles can improve our faith. I agree with that. But it doesn't produce it. We need to believe His Word is true, regardless if we see it or not. Here's another verse. Psalm 103:8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. That's what I want to underline. Slow to anger, abounding in love. It took a lot for God to get angry. So today we're going to talk about the dangers of complaining. I'm going to talk about 3 points. My first point, complaining is a serious offense against God. God hates complaining. We heard it very clearly from the verse we just read. This was Israel's greatest and most consistent sin in the wilderness. Do you know how long their 40-year trip could have taken if they didn't complain? 11 days. 40 years versus 11 days. God abhors complaining so much that he allowed his own children to suffer death to serve as an example of the level of judgment that complaining deserves. Did he like doing it? No. See, the Israelites thought he was simply a loving God, but they, sometimes us as well, tend to forget that he is also a holy God, that he is a just God. Spurgeon said it so well with these words, "God condemned Israel's generation of unbelievers to die in the wilderness so that the generation of faithful believers could inherit the promised land. His appointed place of rest for his people, there can be no rest to an unbelieving heart. If manna and miracles could not satisfy Israel, neither would they have been content with the land which flowed with milk and honey. Complaining expresses discontentment with our circumstances, or we accuse God of doing wrong. Complaining can be seen as a lack of faith, and it implies that we don't trust God. But most of all, it can often be seen as a disobedience to God. Complaining is a sin that can be detrimental to our peace and our joy. See, we should treat sin as it is, a deadly disease, an incurable virus no man can remedy. These days, the world treats sin like it was just an allergy. It's okay, it's mild, it's normal, it's not a big deal. Everyone does it, so that makes it okay. Which brings me to my next point. Complaining is a very contagious spiritual disease. How many times have you felt perfectly okay and content about something or someone until someone else brings up a complaint? It infects other people and the poison spreads to their heart and mind. You think COVID was contagious? Complaining spreads faster, is more harmful, and can negatively impact our spiritual health. And you know what I'm talking about. It's so easy to get entangled in that trap, isn't it? I recently went through a reorganization at my work. Hundreds of good and hardworking people got let go. I was very thankful to be one of the few that was not impacted. But after that announcement, our weekly meetings with our team turned into complaining sessions, pointing fingers, blaming everything and everyone you can think of. The conversation turns from sour to sweet, from effective to a waste of time. And that is what complaining is. It's a waste of our time. We were getting nowhere and nothing was said helped improve the situation. At first, I found myself agreeing with them, but I was quickly reminded that I report to higher management. You see, my boss sits on the throne of heaven. So I had to stop, pause, and think, and remember who I represent. Philippians 2:14 to 15, a very familiar verse to everyone. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Isn't that the world we live in? Isn't that the place we work these days now too? Then it continues on, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Friends, as Christians, we should not be joining people in their negativity. We should not blend in. We need to stand out. In the midst of pessimism, we can be an example of hope. Instead of putting people down, uplift them in the grace of God. Instead of getting caught up in their negativity, humbly lead them to a path where they can see Christ in it. Instead of discouraging, find ways to encourage. Do you know encouraging is also contagious? Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's infect other people with love and hope that only comes from God. My third point, complaining is a bad witness. Complaining tarnishes our witness and leaves a bad testimony. When we complain, especially in front of the unsaved, we agree with them and therefore turn our light, a shining light turn up. I'm sorry. And therefore turn our shining light off. That light that's supposed to show Christ is now being dimmed by our complaining. We're simply telling them that God cannot do it, that God is not powerful enough to fix the problem. When we join in their complaints, it can have the same negative impact on someone else's attitude. especially if they were already spiritually or emotionally weak. When we spread bitterness or just negative attitude, we become a stumbling block. Matthew 18:6 says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. So what's the cure? What's the remedy for complaining? Pray instead of complaining. Seek God's guidance instead of seeking people that will agree with your complaints. Another familiar verse, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, underline that, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. There is no complaint department in heaven. There's a prayer department. There's a petition section. You know, there's no such thing as Yelp ratings either. Oh, Lord, I really didn't like the way you handled that situation, or you could have done better, so I'm going to give you 2 stars out of 5. Thinking that our complaints will change God's mind, or better yet, His will. No, that's not how it works. The way we take care of our problems is by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We present our request to God. God is our Savior, not our servant. See, complaining comes with a proud attitude, demanding, thinking we deserve it. Praying comes with a humble attitude, asking and knowing we don't deserve it. Here's another one. Remember His past work. See, we have a problem recalling the right stuff. We tend to forget that what we should remember and remember the stuff we should forget. That's what the Israelites did. They forgot the amazing miracles and God's faithfulness. Please let our past remind us that God never fails. We have so many miracles in our records. Pull out that memory album and reminisce over what He has done in your life. Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Here's another one. Count your blessings, not your problems. Don't look at what you don't have. Enjoy what you do have. And I'm not just talking about the material things. If you have Jesus in your life, then you have everything, more than you know. You're not lacking anything. Folks, you have abundance. And when you're busy being thankful, you won't have time to complain. But friend, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, sadly, this will not work. Everyone has this void in their life that only Christ can fill. You can try loading it up with temporary things, such as maybe a nice vacation, buying something nice for yourself, a relationship perhaps, or maybe keeping yourself busy enough. Believe me, I tried all of these. But at the end of the day, the void will just get bigger. Surrendering to Christ is the first step to having a fulfilled life. Isn't that what everybody wants? A fulfilled life? So let's go over our day in the life again, this time with more gratitude and less complaining. So you get out of bed. Be thankful that God gave us another day to live. And if you're healthy, then you should be even more thankful. You look at the mirror. Instead of saying whatever you want, be thankful that no matter what I see in the mirror, He sees a child that was made in His own image. You drive to work and someone cuts you off. I'm grateful that I didn't get hit, that I didn't get in an accident. You head to work. I'm thankful that I have a job to go to. You are appreciative that you have a house and a home to go to. And as you hit that pillow at night, fall asleep while thanking God for all the blessings He gave that we didn't deserve. Amen. Let's end in prayer. Dear Lord, let us be more thankful than we should. Help us stop complaining. Help me reconnect with you and know that many times being critical over stuff is a complete waste of our time. We'd rather focus on you. We'd rather focus on your many blessings. Please help remind us that you will always provide for our needs. We're thankful for your word and its power. In Jesus' name, amen.